If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, for the comfort of which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation.
The passage that was just read in your hearing has one word that goes throughout all of it, and that's the word comfort. And that's the subject we're going to look at tonight. And if you think about what the Bible has to say about comfort, there are several very familiar passages to many of us along this theme. For instance, you've probably heard of Psalm 30, verse 5, which says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Or Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." These verses in the Bible that talk about comfort are dear, but they're especially dear to certain type of people, because you cannot really appreciate comfort unless you've gone through some heartache and unless you've gone through some trials. And so when people in life have gone through a lot of sorrow and a lot of trials, these verses that we've just mentioned that have this as their theme, the idea of comfort, are especially dear to those people, because comfort is this wonderful thing that the Bible talks about that isn't, after you've had struggle and trial, after you've had sorrow, it's an easing of that. And without the contrast, you really cannot appreciate it like you can once you've had some difficulty. The wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and verse 2, he says, "There's a time to be born, there's a time to die." And he talks about how life is always a series of contrasts. In verse 4, he says there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. And so just as daylight follows dark, comfort or consolation follows hardship and trial and sorrow. And so this is the way that we live our lives, in these contrasts. Not every day is the same. Some days are good, some days are bad, but we can have this confidence that God will give us relief from pain when we suffer for His sake. And so comfort is one of the most dear themes, I think, in the Bible for the Christian that's trying to serve God. However, I think that there is a lot of people in the world today that think about comfort, and what they want is comfort from sin, in the sense that they want comfort from the guilt and the shame and the consequences from sin without really ever changing their ways. There are a lot of people in the world today that engage in sin, and they're not sorry that they've sinned before God, but they want people to feel sorry for them when they have to face the consequences for their sins. Sin always brings guilt and shame. Many times it brings consequences, and the Bible attests to this fact. It says, Proverbs 13:15, that the way of transgressors is hard. Or Galatians 6, verse 7, whatever we sow, that we're also going to reap. Or Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so if we're going to live a wicked life, there are going to be some negative things, some sorrow that's going to follow that, some hardship that's going to follow those days of sinning. But like I said, a lot of people today, they want people to feel sorry for them when they've experienced the consequences and the heartaches that come from sin, but they're not really upset that they've sinned against God. And this is the type of attitude that is described later on in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you go to chapter 7, and you read that Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10,
that godly sorrow works salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. That's the attitude of people that in the world engage in sin, and because of that they have shame and consequences, but they're not going to change their ways. They just want people to feel sorry for them. That's the type of sorrow that works death. But if when we see our sins, we feel sorry before God, and we repent of those sins, that works salvation. You remember what Joseph said in Genesis 39 when Potiphar's wife tempted him to lie with her? He says, "How can I do this great sin against God?" Now, certainly there were things that he'd be doing against Potiphar and against Potiphar's wife, but his number one concern was that he would sin against God if he gave in to that temptation. And that should be the same attitude we have. That number one in our sights over anything is if we sin, when we realize that, we've sinned against our God, and so that godly sorrow works repentance. Now, like I said, in the world, people have sorrow over their sins and their consequences that they have to face for that, but they don't really change their ways. There are a lot of ways in which people in the world seek comfort. And there is no comfort like the comfort God gives. There are temporary ways of trying to distract my mind from the sorrow and the heartache that I might have to face in this life. And people might turn to all sorts of things. People turn to fornication. They turn to alcohol. They turn to various types of drugs in order to get some sort of temporary peace or temporary relief from the sorrow and the anguish of heart that they have. But there is no comfort like the comfort God gives. It is real, lasting comfort. It's not some empty comfort that the world promises. It's genuine. And what Paul is pointing out here in our text in 2 Corinthians 1 is that he calls God the source of it. Notice it says here in verse 3 that God is called the Father of mercies and the God, notice, of all comfort. There are a lot of different titles given to God in the Bible, and I'm glad that this one's in there. You see, our God is not just a God that demands obedience. Yes, there's that side of him, but he's a God of all comfort. And he's the real source of this true, lasting, genuine comfort that the world cannot give. You think about what Romans 15, verse 4 says. It says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, and notice, comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When you read something like the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, doesn't that give you comfort? Paul is saying there in Romans 15 that the Scriptures comfort us, and he's particularly talking about that Old Testament section of the Scriptures. And so when you read Psalms or when you read those great stories in the Old Testament where God provides for his people and he always comes through and he always keeps his promises, doesn't that give you comfort? And that's not to mention all the comforting things that you can read about in the New Testament. And so the Bible is really a book that's filled with comfort. Not only that, do you remember that the Holy Spirit, who's the author of the Bible, is called by Jesus several times the Comforter. In John 14, John 15, John 16. Remember in John 16, verse 13, he says the Comforter is going to come, the Spirit of truth. And so the Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter. And there's something that the Holy Spirit does for us when we're in dire need of comfort. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps with our infirmities." That is, he helps with our weaknesses. "For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." So that means that when we are hurting so deeply and so badly that we don't even know what to say in prayer to our God, that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. When we need comfort, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. Now, Romans 8:26 is not a verse that's talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to us. It's a verse that says that the Holy Spirit speaks for us, that is, on our behalf before God. Aren't you thankful that the Comforter goes to God for us when we are in deep, dire need of comfort? So Romans 8:26 gives that picture of the Spirit being a comforter. And I think about comfort in the sense of Psalm 23, who could forget verse 4, one of the most famous passages in the Bible. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so we as Christians ought to follow Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God gives us real, lasting comfort, and that's why he's called the God of all comfort. And then I want you to notice that Paul says here that God comforts us, notice, in all our tribulation, verse 4. 2 Corinthians is an epistle that is filled with mentions of Paul's tribulation. Now, you have a lot of passages in the Bible that you could put together to talk about the trials that Paul went through. But the Corinthians and Paul both were people that in the first century were involved in a lot of tribulations and a lot of struggles and trials for the Christian life. I just want to notice with you a few passages in this book of 2 Corinthians where Paul mentions the tribulations that he's going through. Now, he mentions the tribulation here in verse 4, but if you go to chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, you're going to read how he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." In chapter 6, Paul says in verse 4, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God," notice, "in patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." And then in chapter 7, verse 5, he says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears." And then who could forget that most famous passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul mentions his trials and he's talking about himself in comparison to these false teachers that they were so infatuated with in Corinth. And he says that he's speaking here foolishly, but he does mention the trials that he went through. He says in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And so over and over again in this book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is mentioning these tribulations that he has to go through. But in all the tribulations he has to go through, notice in chapter 7, verse 4, he says, "I am filled with comfort." Paul had learned that whatever he faced through life, whatever trial, whatever sorrow he was going through, he could look to God, the source, the God of all comfort, and find comfort in that. And we have to learn that too in life. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 5, that's why in our text he says, "As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation abounds by Christ." You know, it's a very interesting thing. That means that the rougher the world gets, the more merciful God is on his people. Now, if you watch the news and you look at what's going on in the world, you would undoubtedly say that our world is getting more wicked. It's getting rougher all the time. There's just shootings all over. Sometimes you're scared. You just don't know what's going to happen. But listen, the Bible says that the harder the world gets on Christians, the more God gives consolation and comfort. And so we should be thankful to God that he is merciful to us and that he gives more comfort when we have more trials and tribulations that we have to go through as Christians. And then I want us to notice here that the reason God comforts us is not just for our own well-being, but there's also a benefit in other people that are around us. Notice he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that when we are comforted, we may be able, verse 4, to comfort those that are around us. And so he comforts us in all our tribulations that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, notice, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so this is a chain reaction. The comfort we receive from God, we then pass on to others and comfort them, who then pass it on to others. This is how God's light and how God's love is spread in a dark and sinful world. And so God's comfort is not something that we should just hold on to ourselves. We should comfort other people, other Christians. Like the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, comfort ye one another with these words, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow Christians, who need strengthening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13 says that we ought to comfort the feeble-minded in the church. And so we not only receive this comfort from God, this ease, this peace of mind, after we've gone through these trials and tribulations, but we can look out to other people that are in our congregation, other people that are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can help comfort them and encourage them when they are feeling feeble-minded and when they've gone through a trial and a tribulation. And so we're thankful that God is the source of all comfort. We should think about all the wonderful blessings that he gives us. And when we're in the thick of it, when we're in our trials and when we're in our tribulations, let's look to God and think about how we change from day to day. But God is always the same. You know, Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 13, Paul said about Jesus, he said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. And so if I'm going through trials and I'm really feeling down and I just feel like the world is a dark place and I feel like sometimes I even question, why is God allowing me to go through this certain thing? And then the next day when things are better and I can rejoice and I can thank God for his great love for me, notice God's love has not changed. He is always the same. He loves me in the bad days just as much as he loves me in the good days. And he's always there as a source of comfort for me. And so will you this evening respond to the God of all comfort? Jesus, Son of God, extends this invitation. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus wants to give us rest. He wants to give us comfort. And so what we need to do is obey him so that we can have that everlasting comfort that only he provides. What you need to do is believe in him, repent of your sins, confess your faith in him, and be baptized into his name for the remission of sins. Maybe you've done those first things and you've wandered away. He's still here offering you comfort, wanting what's best for you. And so if you need to repent and come back, we pray that you would do that as well. While together we stand and while we sing.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, sinner. Tarry when Jesus is pleading. linger and heed not his mercies. Mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, sinner.